Starting with the Feast of the Ascension last Sunday, I, your preacher, Father Matthew, have been taking you through the St. Peregrine Novena, Living the Dream Through Suffering, and the Gifts of the Holy Spirit, where we're focusing on how the Holy Spirit compels us toward living holy and virtuous lives. And there's actually many stages in life where we are compelled, as it were, to pass the point of no return. I can think maybe the first time this happened to me, on just an unnatural level, I was 4 or 5 years old and I went to swim lessons. And I remember the first time being forced to jump into the deep waters. As a child, you stand on the step, and as you look over that step into the water, it is a quite daunting prospect. You feel as though as you jump in, you might be swallowed whole. Even though that's not true, there's a real perilous aspect to this. Each time you move to a new area or a sort of a new frontier in life, there is something quite frightening about that. And we have experiences like this all the time throughout our life, right? The first time walking to school by yourself, the first time leaving home for college, the first time financially supporting yourself, and all sorts of things, like even bigger things in life, like a vocation with a career, with marriage, or perhaps a religious or priestly vocation. All these things are exciting and frightening because as we go to this new frontier, we lose old safety nets, and with that, there is a real sense of danger. However, if we never take this risk or never get pushed out, as it were, by our parents, we're never really going to live life. But unlike our parents, when Christ compels us forward through the Holy Spirit, He is with us more intimately than our parents or anyone in this life ever could be. His sending of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is that guarantee that He will be with us until the very end of time. Although things might be difficult, He will be present. And right, Christ teaches and redeems us, and then when He sends the Holy Spirit upon us on Pentecost Sunday, that is the guarantee that He guides us as we jump into the deep, as it were. Now, this sacrament that comes on the Feast of Pentecost is the sacrament of confirmation. That is the Holy Spirit compelling us forward. It is literally what the disciples receive in the upper room on Pentecost Sunday when flames of fire are above them. They have that sacrament of confirmation and they are forever sealed in Christ. Just like we all are when the bishop or the priest confirms us with the sacred chrism when on our day of confirmation. Like baptism, the sacrament of confirmation leaves a distinct mark on our soul that is there forever. But it's also kind of odd because we say confirmation completes our baptism, but it doesn't make us more forgiven of sins or more adopted children of God. It pours the Holy Spirit into our heart, but baptism does as well. In a real sense, all that we need to be worthy of heaven is contained in that sacrament of baptism. So we might ask, what is the significance of confirmation? Well, when we think of baptism is like the beginner, the novice sacrament, as you will, that makes us a simple follower in Christ. And if we look at the Gospels, right, for most of the time, the disciples, they are simple followers of Christ. Christ does give them duties and tasks and things like that, but they're all completely needy and constantly dependent on His physical presence among them. They're like helpless little kids. Now, living a life as a helpless follower of Christ is not a terrible deal. We become new creations and we're worthy of heaven. That's a pretty good thing. So what more could we ask for? We should want to transcend the very bare minimum because we are called to greatness, right? Our faith calls us to adventure and conquest. In baptism, we are like children in adolescence or a soldier that has gone through basic training. We have the bare minimum of what we need, but we have not been sent on a mission. Confirmation marks us as an adult in the faith or a soldier in Christ, meaning we are sent to perfectly live in holiness, to proclaim and defend the faith, and even be able to suffer as Christ did with courage. Christ leaves us on Ascension Sunday so that on Pentecost Sunday He can empower us to be examples of Him and to actually bear Christ to the world as saints. Now, with the rise of a lot of secularism in the West over the last decades, or even before that, Christianity has declined. And it's easy, I think, sometimes to look around in the world and feel discouraged, stagnant, and tempted to say, well, I guess I don't know what to do. Maybe I'll just hang out until Christ comes again. Nonsense. Until Christ comes again, we should have boundless hope that he is living and effective in the church and the world, even in the darkest moments. While there are problems all around the world, the Holy Spirit is very much alive. Last year, the church around the world on Easter Vigil saw a huge surge in people entering. This year in France, the eldest daughter of the church, that's become a very secular society, just experienced their biggest number of adult baptisms ever. I think it was like 10,000 on Easter Vigil this year. In England, I think Catholics are now the most like prominently practicing religion because young people are interested in going to, or more young people are interested in going to Catholic Mass now. If we also just think of the passing of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, during that time period, right, the mourning period of those 9 days, there was a huge surge in the Google search, how to become Catholic. People are very hungry and thirsty for the gospel, and the Holy Spirit is at work moving people. Now, that being said, with every good thing we can name, there's probably also negative things out there and real problems out there. And I think that is fair enough. My point is not to dismiss real problems or hard truths, but to emphasize that even amidst the hard truths of life, the Holy Spirit is giving us reason for hope. Moreover, we are also called through the sacrament of confirmation that we have been given to go outside of ourselves to build up the body of Christ. And I must say right now, it is very inspiring to be a young priest. At the parish that I'm at with Father James in Anchorage, Alaska, there are a lot of great things going on. There is growth in our church. There is a lot of young and old people very excited to live their faith, and it's really a joy to be there. Although I am not ministering in San Francisco, I think I was told that last Easter Vigil here, there was something like 76 people that entered the church, that were baptized. That is incredible and speaks to the Holy Spirit being alive in this parish and working through all of you. That should actually really compel us to know that our example matters, and it should make us hunger and thirst to want to help be a part of the mission to make the world reborn in Christ. For all those people that have just entered the church here and all over the world, we should be regularly praying for them. Those are the people we really need to be saints. And we need to be the Catholics that provide for the lonely in this very individualistic age. For renewal in the church and continual growth throughout the world, the church needs people that look past selfish ways and receive that gift of the Holy Spirit that is compelling them forward. There are many things that could be done, but often just a willingness to make sacrifices and volunteer with a good attitude converts hearts and minds. People want a witness that the truth of our tradition is being lived authentically. That is our mission through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us prayerfully turn to the Holy Spirit so that we might be open to his promptings to sacrifice time and talents and be there as willing witnesses for the renewal of the church and to conform all things to Christ and his Holy Spirit.